13 and verse 20. And if, when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy, broke out of the boil. You ever read a scripture sometime and something jumps out at you? I mean, I've gone through this book quite a bit, and I'll read scriptures over and over again. And sometimes things jump out at you. And you say, look at this. The plague of leprosy broke out. And when I saw that, I said, it's a message here for every one of us. If you've ever had the chicken pox, everybody in this room has the germ of the shingles in them, right? Everybody in here, Brother Mickey has it, Brother Byron has it, Brother Robert has it, Brother Jesse has it. The only way you wouldn't have it if you never had the chicken pox. Now, you say, well, how come, Brother Paul, I've never had the shingles? It ain't broke out yet. Y'all get that? The healthy elements in your body has prevented the germ of the shingles from breaking out in your life. Now, if those healthy elements ever change, if your immune system ever gets weak, then there is a chance that the shingles one day will break out in your life. There's a lot of people like that. They're going through their life. They seem like they're okay. Everything is going all right in their life. People say, man, I think he's the nicest guy I've ever seen, or the nicest woman that I've ever met. Then something happens that was concealed in their body and they didn't know about it. They lost their temper. Maybe they started cussing and people said, I didn't know he was like that. What happened? It broke out. Y'all with me so far? It happens. Now, the first thing that breaks out, we've got to admit, is sin. Brother Ed Ballou, one time hearing one of his sermons, I'll never forget, he's talking about when he was a younger man, before he really got into the ministry, he was a truck driver with another fella. And he was witnessing to this man, and he wanted this man to get saved. But this man, every breath he cussed. I mean, he'd cuss the moon, he'd cuss the sun, he'd cuss the stars, he'd cuss the trees, he'd cuss every dog, he'd cuss every truck. I mean, everything you can think of, this man cussed. This was in him. So Brother Ballou witnessed to this man and tried to get him saved. And the man told him, you think that I need to be a Baptist or get saved in order to stop cussing? I'll show you. And he said, I'm just going to show you. I'm not going to cuss anymore. So this man went on. One day, didn't cuss. Ed Ballou went with him to the job, and the same thing he was doing, didn't cuss. He said, you see that? I didn't need to have religion to quit cussing. So he kept on going. Next day, I didn't cuss. Yeah, I told you I wouldn't cuss. I mean, this man showed that he was going to do what he said. He wasn't going to cuss anymore, but something happened. Brother Ballou said that all of a sudden in his truck, he couldn't get the door shut. And he would slam it and couldn't get it there. And he slammed it again, and the truck door wouldn't shut. And all of a sudden there, somehow, he had his finger caught. And he slammed that as hard as he could, and his finger was there. And he said, nail went one place, guts went another place. And he said, what happened? That man got mad. His face started turning green. His ears started wiggling. And he started cussing. Everything he cursed. He cursed his finger. He cursed the truck. You say, preacher, what happened? Broke out. It was concealed. And I want you to know that in your life, if you're not careful, you'll have some things concealed in your body and in your life. And if you're not careful, it's going to break out. Now, here's the message. What are some things that'll break out? Number one, covetousness will break out. You say, what do you mean? You see people that have things. They have more than you, you say. And you say, preacher, I've got to have this. I've got to have this over there. Brother so-and-so has it. And I've got to have this over there. And then suddenly things will take you over. Now what happened? All of a sudden, covetousness broke out. Happens to the best of Christians a lot of times. And that is why your credit cards, that is why Visa loves people to have covetousness so they can buy everything and all of a sudden overextend their credit and all of a sudden they're in debt. What happened? It broke out. I've been around people that I just can't understand this church, but they would fight over an inheritance. Here they have two brothers and two sisters fighting over what piece of property they're going to get when mama dies or daddy dies. Covetousness. I mean, they didn't work one bit for that property. They didn't work one bit to inherit what their parents are going to leave behind. Not one bit they work for that car that they want, that they're arguing about, or that piece of jewelry that they're arguing about. You say, preacher, what's happening here? I'll tell you what's happening. Covetousness has broke out. Not satisfied with what God has given to them. And they get envious. You begin to think more of your physical needs than what you really need. You say, I don't have as much as so-and-so over there, and I don't have what he has or what she has. Now, it's not wrong to have things. Hang on now. It's not wrong to have things. It's when things have you. Then covetousness begins to break out. You can be a poor person and covetousness break out. You can be a rich person and covetousness breaks out. You know something? God blesses many of you financially. But you're so selfish. So much covetousness breaking out in your life, you won't even give God a tenth of what you make. Hang on now. I told you this sermon, I'm not going to be as popular as last week. Amen. You know, it's amazing. God blesses you with $500 or $600 or $700 a week, and you won't give God a tenth. But you know what a lot of people do, and maybe some of you do it. You'll spend $500 of your money buying the Powerball. Amen. Or buying the lottery tickets. You're not settling for $4 or $5. You want to spend $500 of your salary hoping you'll hit the big one. And what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, every week you lose. Every week you lose. Every week you lose. Covetousness is broken out. You want the big one. And you keep on trying. And you rob God. You rob your family. There's some of you in this room could have a nest egg in the bank. But you don't have it because of covetousness. You keep on. You keep on wasting your money. And you keep on. And you rob God of his 10%. And what has happened here? This thing has overpowered you because of covetousness breaking out. Like a cancer. Gotta have. Waste your money. Waste it. Because you want things that really you don't need. It's quiet in here, but that's okay. Hey, you better get excited now. It's gonna get worse. Amen. Covetousness breaks out and it affects the lives of men and women. There's a second thing. Jealousy breaks out. Now, I've seen this, and I hate to say this, I see it amongst preachers. I've been to a Bible conference, you know, and everybody's waiting to be called on to preach. Let me just start off with preachers here. And they call on somebody else to preach the message at that one moment. That preacher is saying, if I were to get up there, they'd hear some preaching. I could out-preach this dude that they got up there right now. And what's happening here, jealousy broke out. Even from the preacher, jealousy sometimes will break out. I've seen people singing specials in a church. Now, we don't have a lot of that in our church. We have a few that are gifted in singing. But there's some churches got 8 or 9 people. You can't sing everybody every week. And they say, if they would let me get up there, I'd show them how to sing. Now, you say, preacher, what's happened? Jealousy has broken out. And you better watch for jealousy, church. Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, you need to be careful about that. Because jealousy is an enemy of God, and it'll cause relationship gaps within the church bodies. And then what happens? Then they can't enjoy each other anymore. Preachers tell me, and I get calls. I got calls last week in my church. They won't ever let me preach. My pastor never lets me preach in my church. Well, I ask him, well, I don't understand that. I said, what's the problem? Are you faithful? I said, that's a requirement that I have. You got to be faithful. You got to come to church. Unless you're providentially hindered, before I let you have authority like that, you got to be faithful. Right. However, hang on now. This man's faithful in the church. And you know what happened? The preacher was afraid that they might like him better. And I want you to know that is jealousy breaking out from the pulpit. And I'm trying to tell you that is one thing, thank God, I ain't worried about. I want you guys to be liked. If God gives you an opportunity, he leads me to let you preach in my pulpit, I want the people to like you. No jealousy at all. But I'm trying to tell you this morning that jealousy breaks out not only from the pulpit, but it breaks out within the church. Don't you get jealous because somebody else got that class. You get jealous because somebody else is getting more money than you. Don't you get jealous because of something somebody has done and you weren't able to do it. Jealousy is an enemy and it breaks out. Here the Bible talks about this leprosy. All of a sudden the sight is under the skin. And the hair around it begins to turn white. And when you see that right there, it breaks out from the boil. And there's a lot of boils within the body of a lot of church people that's causing this to break out. But there's a third one. I tell you, it's going to get worse still. Number 3, how about the sin of rebellion? Well, who does that preacher think he is preaching to me this morning? How dare Brother Paul preach to me? That's rebellion. You're not rebelling against me. You're rebelling against God. I'm not your enemy here. You're rebelling against God. There's teenagers in homes today that think they know more than mom and dad. They try to tell her or him what to do. Insult them. Talk about it. Insult them and make them feel bad and hurt them. I want you to know, sir, teenage guy or girl, that room you had, you didn't work for it. Those clothes that you wear, you didn't do a thing for it. Those things that you have, you didn't do one thing for it. And you've got the audacity to make your parents feel like dirt. You take your iPad, and you go into the room and you play with that electronic game so that you can get away from your parents. Rebellion breaking out in the teenager. You're inappreciative. How dare you have that attitude toward your parents? Your mother could have let you not be born. She could have had an abortion. Might have been better if she would have the attitude that you have at home. You better thank God if you got a mother or if you got a daddy that loves you. How dare you have the sin of rebellion? But that's what a lot of young people have. They don't appreciate what God has given to them, that the fact that they have a mother or a dad that loves them. Come on, the preacher, they're not going to tell me what to do. You ungrateful thing, you. You're ungrateful. Rebellion has broken out. That's why a lot of churches split. You know why there was hell going on in the church? They had to get out of there. What caused that rebellion? People don't want to be told from the Word of God how they ought to live. You're arguing. Church. People in the church wanting to boss each other, hurt each other, manipulate each other, elevate themselves to a position of authority to make themselves feel bad. Let me tell you, men and women, something. Keep your mouth shut and quit trying to hurt people and quit trying to make people feel they're wrong. If you see them doing something wrong, keep your mouth shut. It ain't your job, it's my job. Amen. That's good preaching if I am doing it. Amen. I know last week everybody was hollering, having a time, but this week here, you need what I'm preaching right here. It's breaking out. You want a pastor that you can manipulate, and I'm trying to tell you, you can't accuse me of being unfair, unkind. I mean, I might lose my temper once in a while, but most of the time I'm kind to you. And I'm trying to tell you there that we need to realize that there's nobody better than anybody else in the church. Glory to God, if we got what we deserved, every one of us would go to hell in here. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ that saved you and I from our sins. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if I got what I deserve, then you got what you deserve. Everyone in here would be deserving to burn in hell forever. But Jesus loved you. He paid the price at Calvary for you. He died and paid it all so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. How in the world can you have the sin of rebellion in your life? Ain't nobody going to preach to me. You should preach something different, preacher. You ought to be nice to me. I'm being real nice to you. Preaching is good for you. Problem is with you, rebellion is broken out. The sin of rebellion. Number four, you better get your hollering in, folks. Pride will break out sometimes. Pride will keep you off your knees, will keep you from witnessing to people to try to get them saved. Pride is this, I'm better than that person is. I'm better than you are. And then you want to insult somebody and you want to put them down and you want the preacher to recognize you. Let me tell you something. I try to recognize what you do if it's something good. But if you got this attitude, well, he hurt my feelings. Brother Paul didn't even say I did a good job. Brother Paul didn't even recognize what I did. And I'm going to tell you something. That is pride. Pride breaking out. And all of a sudden there, you got bitterness in your heart. And some of you in this room got people you refuse to forgive. And you got hard feelings. And you refuse to shake their hand. That's old stinking, rotten pride breaking out in your life. It's in you. You ought to come and ask God to forgive you and to wash away the sin of pride breaking out in your life. It is killing our churches. You say, preacher, but we got a good church. I'm going to make sure it stays that way. Amen? Yeah. You know, let me tell you, so over 23 years with you, I still ain't afraid to preach to you. Amen? Because I love you. Amen? I'm preaching like this because I hate you. You're my people. And I love you. I want you to go home and say you went to church today. Amen? All right. Did you get your shouting out? Number five. Sometimes the sin of lust will break out. Kind of quiet here now, huh? Boy, I tell you, if we had a body in here, we could have a service. It's so cold right now. The sin of lust breaking out. You say, well, Brother Paul, it was the style of clothing that caused me to raise my hem up. No, it wasn't, honey. You were advertising the merchandise. Hang on now. You're saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Don't leave us quiet in here, amen? Let me tell you folks something in here. Tell you ladies something in here. When God said, let your light shine, he didn't mean let your tail light shine. Amen, Dabdu. What had happened in here? Boy, the kids are listening pretty good too, eh? You're letting lust break out is the problem. Now, I'm not against pants. I'm not one of those preachers that preach against women wearing pants. However, there is a type of pants that's a problem. That's women that like to wear those bullfighting breeches. You say, preacher, what is a bullfighting breeches? Well, let me explain it this way. It's like having a sack with a 75-pound pig trying to put it in a 25-pound sack. That's good preaching, folks. Amen. It's your dirty lust that's breaking out. Be honest with yourself. That's why you go around advertising the merchandise. I know it's quiet. Now, I told you should have got you shouting in a while ago. Showing the merchandise and showing people this and saying, honey, you ain't seen what else I got. Lust breaking out. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. Have no confidence in the flesh, the Bible says. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I trust my children. I believe that they can park and neck and kiss. And I believe they'll know exactly where to stop. They'll never go any farther. You idiot, you. Amen. I think when you went to sleep a few nights ago, some of your brain must have leaked out. But this thing about my daughter, I trust her. She can neck and pet and kiss, and they'll stop before it goes too far. Nut. Your daughter and your son is not that strong. You better be careful, because you'll get burnt if you don't. Let me tell you teenage boys in here something. You better learn when you start dating, and some of you are dating now, start treating that little girl like a lady. With decency. Not trying to touch her up. Get privileges that you don't deserve. You don't deserve that until you marry that girl. God never intended for you to feel the merchandise and check it out before you own it. It's all right. You say, preacher, I ain't a coming back no more. Well, I'm going to load your truck before you go home. Amen? Glory to God. You won't get this kind of preaching anywhere else in Slide. Elsie, you're here. Take the truth. Enjoy it. Apply it to your life. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to stop you from getting burnt. And you teenage boys, learn as you grow up to treat the girl that you take out on a date, to treat her with respect. But when your hands begin to roam in places it shouldn't, what's happening here? Lust is breaking out. Glory to God. Don't sit there and look at me like that. Say amen. Amen. Oh. Man, y'all staring at me. You've seen me before. You know what I look like. And it ain't bad, is it? All right. Let me tell you boys something in here. Right. You make sure when you're looking for a wife that you pick you a lady. You say, well, I can't get a pretty one if I do that. It might be to your advantage to pick the ugly one. Amen? Amen. Remember that song, those of you that are old enough, when we were in high school? If you want to be happy the rest of your life, get you an ugly woman to be your wife. Amen? They'll treat you right, sir. Amen. Well, of course, I got me a pretty one. Boy, sometimes you pay the price. Amen. But amen. Just kidding. Some of you guys in here, you go around trying to have your lust break out for somebody else with your shirt unbuttoned, open up there, and everybody looking at you and say, there's one hair over there. Oh, there's the other hair over there. Oh, there's a hair in the middle. Bragging about your two or three hairs, and what you're trying to do, you're trying to get lust to break out. Amen. Lust broke out. Look at my biceps. Look what I've got. And I'm trying to tell you, if that's the attitude you have, you are proving a point. That the only thing you're interested in is lust breaking out in your life. If you've been blessed with biceps and blessed with a good chest and all those things, of course, I ain't interested in it. But I'm trying to tell you there, that's not how you attract somebody. You ought to attract somebody with your character. And you ladies in here ought to attract a guy with your character. Instead of going around showing off your merchandise and so forth and causing lust to break out. Amen. Number six, I'll go quickly. Insincerity sometimes will break out. A lot of people playing church. Honestly playing church. They say, "Preacher, you can count on me." But you can't even find them if you issue a search warrant. Amen. You can count on me. And then they're unfaithful to the church. Let me tell you, men and women, something. Every time the church doors are open on Sunday, you'll never convince God that you're justified to miss the services of God's house unless you're sick or providentially hindered. And if you go out of town, glory to God, you ought to be in church someplace. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." That's all right. I think the people in leadership of this church ought to be faithful. I expect it. I expect you to be here because God does. "Preacher, use me. Be faithful. I don't give you authority for unfaithfulness to get you faithful." Some preachers will give somebody a position to get them faithful. Glory to God. You're not going to get one that way. Not with me. Glory to God. You will get something for being faithful. Look, get used to it, folks. I'm still in good health. Amen. You're going to hear this a while. Amen. Unless God suddenly takes me home, this is what you're stuck with. Amen. True. You're stuck with old-fashioned preaching all these years. Ah, boy. "Preacher, but you can count on me." And then under your breath, "But if he thinks I'm doing that, he's crazy." Insincerity broke out. I believe if you shake hands, you've heard me say this before, but if you shake hands with somebody, that ought to be a contract. You make a deal, you make a promise with somebody, and you shake their hand. If you are a sincere person, that handshake ought to be equivalent to a written document. It's a shame that Baptists have to have a written document to make it legal. If I shake somebody's hand and say, "Do we agree to this?" and we shake hands on it, that's a contract. But we're living in a day when a man's word is no good. And I want to challenge you today that if you shake somebody's hand, that's your word, that'll be worth something. Don't tell me what you are. Show me. Amen. All right. Quickly. Sin will break out. There are some things that do need to break out, and I'll do these quickly. Sin, yes. Number two, the shout ought to break out. You know something? You're gonna like what I'm going to say now. Most of you. Shout means excitement in the church. God never intended for the church to be dead. Dull. You same folks in here, that is, that would go to see a Saints ball game, would get all excited if Drew Brees goes back for a pass and throws it to Jimmy Graham and he scores a touchdown. Of course, he can't slam it now. But you get excited, you'll shout, you come to the house of God, you're dead. Let me tell you something. You ought to learn to get the shout back. Let it break out on you. You got it in you if you can shout at a ball game. I mean, if you can get excited to see an LSU win a ball game, well, I want you to know you ought to get excited because you're saved. You ought to get excited because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You ought to get excited because every sin you've ever done in your life has been forgiven. You ought to get excited because you're saved and because your name is written down in the book. We ought to get excited. We ought to get a shout once in a while. It ought to come out. Glory to God. I'm saved. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. If we can shout at a ball game, we ought to get once in a while holler amen in here. Good. Amen. We got something to shout about. Let it break out. There's some of you got shout in you, but it ain't broke out. I'd like everybody in here to see the shout break out. Let the amens break out. Some of you women in here need to let it break out. I don't mind a woman shouting amen. You shout at home. Let it break out in the church, amen. You're mad at your husband, to turn it loose on the church. Let that energy get out. Shout, amen, glory to God, I'm saved. You know why Baptists don't do that? Because they're afraid they're going to think they're Pentecostal. The Pentecostals came into existence in 1901. Baptists have been teaching this from the day of Pentecost, but we're scared. We're scared that people are going to think we're nuts. Well, why don't you be a nut for Christ? Amen? Amen, brother. That's right, Brother Jesse. All right, I'm a going to. Amen? She said, preach on. I'm a going to. Amen? Thank you. There's a third thing that's going to break out, and that's the seat. You say the sin, shout, seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Let me tell you something. How you live for the Lord and the motives you did and the things you did in the church, the works that you did for the church, you say, I did for the glory of God. If it's done for the glory of God, when he brings it and reveals you and gives you the honors and the crowns and the rewards, it'll break out, folks. And then number four, salvation needs to break out on some of you. Some of you in here are on your way to hell. You've never been born again. You've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, Brother Paul, I've been baptized. I didn't ask you that. You say, well, I've been confirmed. I didn't ask you that. You say, I've taken the Lord's Supper. I didn't ask you that. You say, I've taken the sacraments. I didn't ask you that. If you want to go to heaven, you got to realize you're lost, that you are a sinner, and that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. And when you recognize that you are a sinner, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and one thing for sure, it'll break out the blood of Jesus Christ, and your salvation is good forever. Amen. So if you're here today and you've never been saved, I know 99% of this sermon was for the Christian. But if you're here and you've never been saved, you need to let it break out. Let Jesus Christ forgive you for all of your sins. You say, well, Brother Paul, but I belong to our church. I'm a Baptist. Being a Baptist won't get you to heaven. You say, I'm a Pentecostal. That won't get you to heaven. You say, I'm a Catholic. That won't get you to heaven. You say, I'm a Presbyterian. That won't get you to heaven. You are not saved by your religion. We're living in a day. You go and ask people in Slidell, have you been saved? Just did it the other day. And somebody told me, yes, I'm saved because I treat people right. I don't mistreat them. I try to do what's right. And he honestly thought that's how you get to heaven. There's a lot of good people in hell right now that treated people right. The difference is this. You got to realize you are a sinner. And that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And that he was buried. And he rose again the third day for your sins. And when he rose again the third day and you accept him as your Savior, he forgives you of all of your sins. It's not being a Baptist, a Methodist, or a Presbyterian, or a Pentecostal, or a Baptist that's going to get you to heaven. I wouldn't walk across the street to make you a Baptist. I'd walk across the street to show you how to be saved. Thank God. Y'all seem excited. Amen. Maybe there's some excitement breaks out once in a while. And if you're here today and you say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I've never been saved. I'm a good person. I'm a decent person. Some of you young people in here, maybe you're a teenager. You say, preacher, I'm good. I don't rebel against my parents. I'm not one of those. Wouldn't I go to heaven? You will if you get saved. Everybody in here is a sinner. Everybody in here, Brother Carl, deserves to go to hell. Everybody in here is a dirty, good-for-nothing, rotten sinner. And ought to burn in hell forever. But Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day. And every sin, everything you've ever done in your life can be wiped clean. And all of these things I preached about today, all of these things that will break out, can be put under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God you all are still alive in here. Amen. It's after 12 and you're still excited. That's good. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, and God spoke to my heart. Of course, if you are saved and God dealt with you, I'm not going to ask you why you're at the altar. You don't have to confess your sins to me. Or if you've hurt somebody in this church, you need to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, and then get it right. I don't know who the message was for. But I'll say this. If God spoke to you about some of these things breaking out, and I'm impressed with these kids. I don't know if they're in shock or what, but they were listening. Amen. But if God spoke to you about anything, you come. And then if you're not saved, you say, preacher, if I died, I'd go to hell. I don't want to go. Just come when the music starts telling me, preacher, I'd like to be saved. I know it's a little later than normal. It won't kill you. Cracker Barrel will be waiting for you. Amen. Yeah, their food. In fact, if you go a little later, you get fresh stuff. Amen. All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to examine yourself. Thank you so much for your undivided attention. I appreciate that. I love you and I appreciate it. But if God spoke to you about anything, I want you to feel free to come. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church and for the way people listen and for the enthusiasm and how they shared in the message.